What we've been doing over the last few months together on Sunday evenings is we've been looking at a study together called Read the Bible for Life. And the purpose of this study was to help us to be able to read the Bible better, to be able to understand its message, the different parts of the Bible, understand them and apply them to our lives. And so we looked at, most of our time together was spent looking at different sections of the Bible and how to read those sections of the Bible better. And so we looked at the law, we looked at the prophets, the Psalms, Revelation, the Gospels, the Epistles, and just to see how these different types of literature in the Bible read differently. They have different, really different rules of interpretation, different ways of understanding their message and of applying them. And then for the last few weeks in our study together, we've been looking at some more practical issues of reading the Bible, such as reading the Bible with our family, which is what we talked about last time that we were together. It's been almost a month now since we've met together on Sunday night, but that was our last topic, reading the Bible together as a family. And tonight, we're finishing our study, and it's actually quite appropriate because this last chapter is called Reading the Bible as the Church, or Reading the Bible with the Church. And in this last chapter, I thought he did a really good job of reviewing some things that he's been talking about all along. And so in a way, we kind of come full circle tonight and end where we began. And so we're going to be talking tonight a little bit about reading the Bible with the Church. Biblical illiteracy. We kind of talked about this at the very beginning of our study, in that not only culture as a whole is becoming more biblically illiterate, but even those who claim to be Christians are becoming more biblically illiterate. In other words, they don't have a very good knowledge of the Bible, even church-going people. And so that was one of the reasons why George Guthrie wrote this book, is to help people be able to read the Bible better so they would enjoy reading the Bible better and become more biblically literate and understand the Bible better and able to apply it to their lives. Because he gave some interesting statistics in the study. Only 9% of people who would identify themselves as born-again Christians have a worldview shaped by the Bible. That's startling to me. In other words, people who would self-identify themselves as Christians say, Jesus is my Savior, and if they're a Christian, you would hope they would say, the Bible's my authority, and yet the way they view life and the way they make decisions is not informed by the Bible for the vast majority of them. Only 16% of churchgoers read the Bible daily, have a regular pattern of reading the Bible. Only 37%, now this was a Lifeway study. This last one was a Lifeway study, and so probably more Southern Baptist churches as a part of the pool of people who were questioned. And of those, only 37% said that the Bible has made any significant impact in their life. We want to be different than that as a church. We want to have more than 37% say the Bible means something to me. It has impacted my life. It's changed my life in a significant way. As a church, we want to have more than 16% of our church reading the Bible regularly. We want to have not 9%, but 100% of our church saying that the way I make decisions and the way I view the world and the way that I interpret reality is through the Bible, through God's truth. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this study. One of the things that he talked about in this last chapter was one of the reasons why we have biblical illiteracy is not only because people don't read the Bible, but also because they read it wrongly. And one of the ways that people read the Bible wrongly is that they view it as a self-help manual. And if you think about it, that's kind of a perspective that's very, very popular in our culture right now as a whole, is the whole self-help genre of literature in bookstores, self-help gurus who go around speaking to people. That's really, really popular right now. And so it's not surprising that people would view the Bible even as a self-help manual. But that's not what the Bible is. The Bible's not a self-help manual or encyclopedia where you go to it like a dictionary or an encyclopedia to look up your problem. You don't go through it alphabetically or by the index or the glossary at the back and say, okay, I've got a problem today. What does this say about my problem? The Bible's not set up that way. It's not set up as a self-help manual or an encyclopedia. Rather, what it is it's about God. It's not primarily about me and my problems. The Bible's about God and what He's doing in the world. And it's about a story of what God is doing from creation to new creation. And so we need to not treat the Bible as a self-centered way of primarily about me and how it can fix my problems. And we also need not treat the Bible as a dictionary or encyclopedia where we just go to look up something when we have a problem. The Bible's about God, and it's not an encyclopedia. It's a story. It tells a story, a grand story, from creation to new creation of all that God is doing. And so we need a God-centered approach to reading. Another reason why we have difficulty with reading the Bible and intaking what the Bible is teaching us is because in our society, we have information overload. Information overload. And essentially what that means is that I think, and he basically says this in the book, and I completely agree, that biblical illiteracy is directly related to our being distracted by worldly amusements. Why read the Bible when I can play with my iPad? Right? Why read the Bible when I can watch TV or watch a movie? Why read the Bible when I can, you know, text my friend on my iPhone? We have so much. We have information coming at us from every direction, and we have so much that is on a screen that is flashy. And it's well done. Graphic design artists do this, spend their lives perfecting the image, and it looks great. Movies look great. Television looks great. Even the newscasters look great. Everything looks great on a screen. And so we're so inundated with media and games and just things that are frivolous that we don't spend our time reading the Word of God. And so what we need is by grace. We need God's grace to pull us away from worldly amusements. We need God's grace to help us see that worldly amusements never truly satisfy. True joy comes from God through His Word. Worldly amusements never satisfy. Let me give you an example of that. When was the last time that you liked to watch one movie and just watch that same movie over and over again? Well, you might do that for a few times, but then what happens after that? You want to see another one, right? You got to see a new movie. How many of you download a few apps to your iPad or your iPhone, and then that's all the apps that you ever download to your iPhone? No, we got to have a new one, right? We see something else that's popular. We got to download a new one, and so there's always something new that is trying to draw our attention in. There's always a new television program to watch. There's always a new movie to watch. There's always a new video game that comes out. There's always a new app that comes out. And they're all the time trying to seek our attention, and it never truly satisfies us. And so by grace, we need to see how frivolous and how temporary and how fleeting these things are that are drawing our attention, and we need to see that God's truth is everlasting. Where the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your truth, God, is from generation to generation. We need to see what's really important. And it takes God's grace to do that. God's grace to pull us away from worldly amusements and help us to see that His word truly satisfies and brings joy. One thing that will help us in gaining biblical literacy and help us to read and understand the Bible better is to not see the Bible as little chunks or little bites, little tidbits, but we need to see the big story. And that's hard in our culture because our culture is losing the ability to track with longer stories. Everything in our culture is moving towards smaller quicker, smaller and quicker. And so one of the latest trends now is, some of you may know about this, some of you may not, but one of the latest social media trends is what's called Twitter. Well, essentially what Twitter is, it's kind of like a really mini blog. You say, what's a blog? Well, a blog is where somebody puts their thoughts on the internet, like an article on the internet. And a Twitter, a little tweet, is where somebody will try to give a little mini blog, and they have to limit it to 140 characters. Now, 140 characters means every letter, period, comma, punctuation mark. That counts as a character. So you can't really fit a whole lot, maybe a sentence, maybe two sentences, in a Twitter post, a tweet, is what they call them. Well, our culture is becoming more and more accustomed to that. Little short, little headline, you know, I don't want context, I don't want the whole story, I just want a quick news flash. That's all I want. Because I've got to know about 5 million things, and so I don't have time to get the context for anything. And so really what we have in our society is we have a society that's about 5 million miles wide, but an inch deep. We have no depth of anything. We know a little bit about a lot of things because we get all this information coming into us, but we know depth about not very many of those things. And we're losing our ability as a culture to focus on long, extended stories. We're losing our ability as a culture to listen to a 30-minute message on Sunday mornings. We're losing our ability as a culture to read a whole book, to read a whole article, to go from the first page of the newspaper where it says continued on 7C. Nah, I don't want to learn the rest of that. I don't want to take the time to read the rest of the story. Well, that hurts biblical literacy. And so we need, as a church culture, we need to develop the mental abilities to be able to sustain focus on a larger story, a bigger story. And so biblical literacy improves when we better understand the big picture story of the Bible and our place in it. And to understand the big picture story of the Bible, we have to read the Bible. And we have to read lengthy sections of the Bible to see the big story. And that takes attention, takes dedication. But we need to do that. We need to discipline ourselves and fight. And there are times when you have to fight the push of the culture. The push of the culture is you just need little tidbits out of context, you know, a couple of sentences. No, what we need is we need some truth. We need depth. We need context. We need to see. We need wisdom. And so there are times when we need to push back against what culture is forcing us into. So we need not tidbits. We need not little news flashes. We need the big story. We also need a biblical worldview. Biblical worldview is basically where the Bible shapes our thinking and our decision-making process, and we see all aspects of our lives through the lens of Scripture. And so our way of thinking and our view of life needs to be deeply shaped by the Scriptures. That's what a biblical worldview is. And so we need to see that the Scriptures relate to every area of our lives, not just church on Sunday. So Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So our minds need to be conformed, transformed by God's truth, so that we are thinking about reality through God's perspective. That's a biblical worldview. The other way that we need the Bible as the church is we need theology in the church. Theology. I'm going to tell you a story about one time when I was working as a bookstore manager. This is when I was going to seminary in Michigan. This is probably, how long ago was that? 99, 2000, 13 years ago. I was a manager of a Christian bookstore in Michigan, and I talked to lots of people in that Christian bookstore, and I remember overhearing a couple people having a conversation, and a little bit of the conversation that I heard went something like this: "I don't care about doctrine. I just want to learn the Bible." I don't want theology. I don't want doctrine. I don't want all that doctrinal stuff. Well, I think recently even Dale and I were joking about this, is that if you say anything about the Bible, if you go beyond just reading the Bible and say something about it, whether that be teaching or preaching or explanation or of any kind, that's doctrine. You're teaching something. If you're teaching anything from the Bible, that's doctrine. And so you can't say, I don't want doctrine. Now, probably what they meant by that is they don't want a certain kind of doctrine, or they don't want systematic doctrine. Don't tell me what I can believe and not believe. But we need theology as the church. And the church needs to hunger for theology because it leads to a knowledge of the greatness and the goodness of God. What theology does for us is theology leads us to God, because that's what theology means. Theology is the study of God. As we study about God, it leads us to God and exposes us to His greatness, His grandeur, His glory, and also His goodness and mercy to us as sinners. So we need theology, both systematic theology and biblical theology. What do I mean by that? Systematic theology is taking individual doctrines, individual sets of teachings, like in more of a topical arrangement. So let's study what the Scriptures have to say about God and His attributes. Or let's study what the Bible has to say about salvation, how we come to be saved. That would be more systematic theology. Biblical theology is more in the sense of let's taking the teaching of the Bible as the authors present it to us in the order of the Bible. So you might have a theology of Moses from Genesis through Deuteronomy. What does Moses teach us about God and salvation and how to relate to God? And taking it in the order that the Bible presents it in, that's more biblical theology. We need both of those because systematic theology shows how the Bible relates to each other, shows the interconnections between all the parts. Biblical theology gives us the big story from Genesis to Revelation and shows us the unity of those parts. And so we need both. The church needs the Bible in theology. The church also needs the Bible in worship. When we gather together, the Scriptures are incredibly important. And there are several ways that the Bible needs to be at the center of our church when we gather together for worship. One way is the Bible needs to be the center of our songs and our prayers. And so as we sing songs, we select songs and sing them, we want them to be biblically rooted songs. We want these songs to convey truth that matches the Scriptures. Our prayers need to be guided and directed by the Scriptures so that we're praying the kinds of things that the Bible tells us to pray about, praying with the kind of priorities that the Bible tells us to pray about. And so the Bible needs to direct our singing and our prayers. We also need public reading of Scripture. It's one of the reasons why I try to incorporate in many of our worship times a time where we just read the Scripture, where we let the Scripture just speak for itself to us, maybe from a psalm or an Old Testament passage, or like tonight from Paul in 2 Timothy. We need the Bible to speak to us, public reading of Scripture. And then there's preaching. Obviously, a primary aspect of our time in worship together is the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And I think one of the best models of preaching and teaching is expository preaching, expository teaching. And basically what I mean by that is when you take a passage of Scripture, kind of what we've been doing on Sunday mornings through the book of John, you take a passage of Scripture and you let that passage of Scripture dictate the flow of the message, the points of the message, the main idea of the message. It comes out of what the author is saying in that biblical passage. So you're trying to unpack the meaning of that passage and let that meaning drive the main points of the message. And so expository preaching focuses on the text's meaning and has great advantages. You're hearing the Bible in context. You're not taking verses out and saying, I want this to mean this, and I want this verse to mean this. It's harder to do that when you're doing expository preaching because you're seeing the verses in the context of the paragraphs around it. The other great thing about expository preaching is that it follows the Bible storyline. As you're going through a book of the Bible or going through a section of the Bible, you're able to see the Bible storyline unfold. The other thing that expository preaching does is it gives us the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. In other words, if I were just to do a bunch of topical messages, I would just teach and preach on the things that I liked or the things that suited me. And there would be things that I would not teach or preach on, or I would miss them. But going through sections of the Bible, going through books of the Bible, and you're going verse by verse, passage by passage, it really kind of, in a way, forces you to talk about the whole counsel of God. All of God's teachings. Not just the ones that we like or the ones that are popular, but it forces us to see everything that God is teaching us. Gives us the whole counsel of God. And so that's why I've adopted as my primary means of preaching, expository preaching. And that's one way that we can make the Word of God central in our time of worship. Here's some concluding thoughts tonight. Just not only for tonight, but really for this whole study. For the whole study that we've been doing. We want to know and love the Word so that we can know and love God. So don't take this as an end in itself. We want to love the Word, but we don't worship the Word. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God who gave us the Bible. But we can love the Word because the Word comes from God and it reveals to us who God is. And so we can have a love and a delight in God's Word because of who it comes from and who it leads us to. And so we want to know the Bible, not for the Bible's own sake, but so that we can know God better, so that we can love God, so that we can serve God, obey Him. We want our knowledge of the Word to lead to change. We don't want to be among that 63% that said, the Bible had no impact in my life. We want that 37% that said the Bible's had an impact on my life. We want that number to be 100% in this church. We want everyone in this church to be able to say, the Bible has influenced my life. The Bible has changed my life. The Bible has shaped my thinking. The Bible has changed the way, the things that are important to me and the way that I live. And so we want our knowledge of the Word to lead to change of thoughts, worldview, change of affections. And what I mean by that is what we love, what's important to us. We want the Bible to shape our thinking and even influencing what we love and what's important to us, shaping our affections and our emotions, and then out of that, changing of our heart and our thoughts, changing the way that we live, changing our actions. And I think that's what Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, when he says, all Scripture is God-breathed, meaning it comes from God. This is God's truth. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that, see that purpose statement? Here's the reason. God's Word has all these benefits, teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We want to be equipped with God's truth, with our minds shaped by its truth, with our hearts changed by its truth, so that we can have what we need to live for God and to obey Him and to do every good work that He's planned for us to do. And so my hope, my prayer, is that this study will awaken within you, and this has to come from the Spirit. It can't just come from a book. It can't just come from even my message on Sunday night. It has to come from the Spirit. I pray that this study, through the Word, through this book, in combination with the Holy Spirit, would awaken within you a desire to go deeper into the Word of God, to learn it, to know it, so that you can know and love your God better, and so that it will result in change in your heart and in your character and your actions. That's my prayer as a church. And that as a whole church, we will be moving in that direction. And that the Word of God will be our foundation for everything that we do together as a church, but also everything that we do as families and individually, that the Word of God would be our foundation for all of that. So that God will get the glory. Because this is His church, and we want Him to be glorified in it.